So today we're beginning at the very beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you have been following along with the daily Bible reading plan that we're doing as a congregation, today's reading is actually Deuteronomy chapters 1 and 2, but we're going to be looking at part of Deuteronomy chapter 1 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness and the Arabah opposite Suf between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. It is 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give them. So, question that I have for you today. How many times have you ever had to be reminded? Let's just start with this morning. How many times did you have to be reminded of anything waking up? Now, one of the things that's interesting is the time change. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, and you probably remember as well, that the pastor would always announce it the Sunday before and then the Wednesday before, making sure that everybody in the church knew about the time change, right? But now we do the same thing, but we don't have to do it that much anymore because we have these devices that do it for us, so it happens automatically. Right? So you don't have to wake up in a, oh, I forgot about the time change. Was this the forward one or the backward one? What's going to happen? So the idea of, you know, losing an hour's sleep and all those type of things, but there's always reminders that we have, and there's things that we need to be reminded of. And the reason for that is because, let's just face it, as much as you don't want to admit it, we forget. Okay? Nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to say, I forgot. I mean, that's usually the last thing you really want to say when you admit to it. Usually you want to come up with some other better explanation other than that. You know, like I was distracted. Something else was on my mind. I was just so busy that I just, you know, something like that instead of just simply coming straight out and just saying, I forgot. I forgot and I needed to be reminded of that. Now, along with that is the idea of repetition, because I believe what they say, the experts say, if I get this right, and whoever knows this for sure can correct me, but if I get it right, I believe they say that if you say something 7 times to yourself, you will be able to remember it, right? In fact, I remember seeing people, I don't even know if I've seen this at New Hope just yet, but I saw it at one of my churches before where somebody walked out the door, they signed up for something, and it was Thursday at 7 o'clock, and I saw them as they're walking out the door. They're going Thursday at 7 o'clock, Thursday at 7 o'clock, Thursday at 7 o'clock, Thursday. They're making sure they got all 7 in so they did not forget. Now, there's many different ways that you have done that probably over the years. Anybody ever do the whole string around your finger thing? You do that so you don't, that's to remind you of something. But what I've done, of course, lately is my phone pretty much has my life. All of my devices, Apple pretty much owns me at this point. If Apple would go bankrupt, I wouldn't even show up here on Sundays probably because I wouldn't know what to do. Because my calendar, everything is there. And there was one time in particular, and I shared this with some of you before, there was one time that I was just really blown away because, you know, Miranda will tell me at times to pick up something, you know, to do this on the way home, or don't forget in the morning to take this. And there's been many times that I forgot. And just completely forgot. Like, I mean, I'm not even talking about even a shade of memory at all. I come into the house, and then eventually she finally asked me, did you? And then boom, it comes right back to me. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I was supposed to, wasn't I? So I put in my phone one day, she told me to pick up something on the way home, and so I wrote it down, I put it in my phone, and I'm just driving along, and I am almost home, and right when I pass the store, my phone buzzes, and I'm thinking, well, who's texting me now? And I glance over, and there it is, pick up this, because I programmed it to tell me that when I drive by this store, remind me to go in and get this, and it worked. Saved my life. It's amazing, isn't it, how much we forget. I think they say that, you know, along, maybe there's something about this number seven, but the idea of saying seven times is how you remember something. You only remember 7% of what you're told anyway in a message like what we're doing right now. So choose the words you want to keep, choose the words you want to have, because you only get to have seven. 7% of what I'm saying. So if that is true, that we forget, if that is true that we need to be reminded, then what that does is that puts repetition at a high priority, doesn't it? That puts repetition at a high priority, doesn't it? That puts repetition at a high priority, doesn't it? That puts repetition at a high priority because what happens when something's repeated, right? It's repeated so you don't forget. It's repeated so it's ingrained in you. And many people who are close to me know that that is what I need more than anything. You got to continually tell me, get it ingrained in me, stamp it on my head, do whatever needs to happen so that it's an obvious thing, because repetition is actually very important. And I would also add to that, that repetition is also important in our Christian walk and in being a Christian. Repetition's important. Why is that? Well, because we just said we forget and we need to be reminded. Now, there's an issue with pride sometimes that comes into the place where some of us may say, well, not me. I don't need to be reminded of anything of God's truth. I know God's truth. I know the scriptures. I know. No, you need to be reminded. That's why most of you are here today, right? That's why we gather together as a body, is to be reminded of God's truth. That's why when we don't have this, when you go into places where church is outlawed and they can't even do anything, not even live stream or anything, that's why their culture crumbles, because nobody's reminding them of God's truth. They're not getting a reminder. And so if mankind doesn't get a reminder of God's truth, what do? They just drift off and just do what they desire to do. And you have experienced that. All of us have seen that. We have witnessed that. And when that happens, it doesn't go so well, does it? Because whether we want to admit this one or not, we're a mess without God. If we don't have God, we're a disaster. We will destroy everything. The book of James even says we'll devour one another without God. That's how bad things get. I remember it was about a year ago or so, I think it was about a year ago, where there was this big story of this missionary who attempted to go to this island and share the gospel, and he didn't survive. And so there was a big talk on social media about should he have done it, shouldn't he have done it, should he have gone into that situation knowing the dangers. And what I understood was, as I read about this, and you probably read about it as well, I tried to research it the best I could, what I discovered was he was going into an area where there was zero, and I am talking zero, knowledge of God. Zero knowledge of God. You can tell him I said hi, by the way. Zero knowledge of God, right? Now, when you think about that, if you think just for a moment, what would that be like? What would a culture be like with zero knowledge of God? We're not talking about just partial, none. It makes you think about what we appreciate in our culture that actually comes from the knowledge of God. So why do I say all this? Well, I say all this because when we get into the book of Deuteronomy, that's what Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy, in many cases, it is a reminder. And it's also a fresh message, but it's also a reminder. It's a reminder of the same message. The term Deuteronomy itself in the Hebrew means second law. So this is the second, you could look at this as the second Ten Commandments, basically, or the second law, or the reminder of the law that has already taken place. And he explains this here when he said, these are the words of Moses, spoke to all Israel. All right, and then we go down to verse 3 and look at what he says. He says, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month. So this is the 40th year. Scholars have discussed this, that these 40 years have been very difficult. It's been 40 years since the first law was given, 40 years since Moses, again, the whole Ten Commandments issue, 40 years, and virtually all of them, except for about two, were wiped out. So the people that were there at this time had not heard the law. They weren't present during the whole Ten Commandments scene with Moses. They all have been wiped out other than two. So these were all new people. And they needed to be reminded of the truth that no doubt they heard about, but they needed to be reminded of the same truth because the new generation coming up did not have the freshness of God speaking directly to them through Moses about the Ten Commandments. This new generation coming up didn't have it, so they needed to be reminded, and that is the whole purpose of the book of Deuteronomy. That's why it's there. He says right here, first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give them. And what he does then from then on, so this is all what God is telling him. God again is telling Moses, this is what I want you to tell the people. And so what Moses does, as you read through the first chapter and you continue to read through the book, he gives them a summary of what God had done for them. The ins and the outs, the sins that were committed, the times that they challenged God, the times that he punished them, the times that God came through for them, the times that he gave them answers, the difficult times, the times that this many of their people were killed, the times that they killed, the times they were in battle, the times they were in war. And he goes through this whole summary about this whole thing of what took place to remind everybody the importance of God and the importance of God's truth. Now, first of all, we see some parallels there, don't we? I don't know how often I've heard it. You may have said it, but I've heard it more than enough. Probably too much. It's probably been something exhausted too much, but how many people here have ever thought or talked about or are concerned about the next generation? Yeah. And why is that? Well, the same reason there's concern in Deuteronomy. It's the same reason. They weren't there. They didn't experience, fill in the blank. They don't understand, fill in the blank. Someone needs to teach them. They weren't taught, fill in the blank. Because, you know, it used to be, at least from my understanding, because when I was in college, we would go downtown and we would witness. We had this witness group that would go downtown on Saturday nights and would witness, and we would just try to share the gospel. And of course, we were young. We didn't know anything. We thought we knew everything, but we didn't know anything. And we were trying to do this. But at the very least, there were starting points we could have discussions with people about. For example, one person was going into a bar and I stopped him with a couple of my friends and I began to ask him about the salvation, ask him about death and does he know where he's going to go when he dies? You know, just that whole four spiritual law type of thing and doing all that. And he was very smug, very sarcastic. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, when I was 8 years old, I had the decision to make. Either I was going to go to church with my mom or I'm going to work in the garden with my dad. And he said, I worked in the garden with my dad, and that was the best decision I ever made. And I think about that on that day, looking back on that, there was still at least a starting point. What was the starting point? Well, his mom was wanting him to come to church. There was something. At the very least, you wouldn't usually get somebody who would say, yeah, my grandmother's been talking to me a lot about that, and I don't know what to think about it. My parents aren't really talking to me about it, but my grandmother is. Yeah, she's really into the church thing. She's really into the religious thing, but I'm not. And you see, it used to be there was some connection. And it doesn't mean that there's no connection or zero connection, but it seems as if, just taking a guess, that in our culture today, that we run into times where there's no connection more than we used to, which means there's zero connection at all. There's not even a starting point with many of the people because they have no knowledge whatsoever of God, have never been taught it in any way, have no understanding. Their parents, grandparents, nobody had ever taught them. So that's the parallel. So we're dealing with a Deuteronomy situation right now in our modern day culture, is a time where God's truths need to be presented again so that the new generation who weren't there and didn't experience this and didn't see that, that now is the time for a refresher so that God's truths can be proclaimed and presented again. That's why I find it so important when we talk about preaching and we talk about the proclamation of the gospel, if there's one thing that the church needs to fight for, and I mean fight, it's for the proclamation of his word. The whole idea of preaching his word. That has been the way God has been communicating since the Old Testament, God preaching his word, that a moment in time, somebody is standing up and proclaiming his word. That's what we need to fight for. And if for me to get into the personal side of this, for me personally, that's the bottom line for me. Okay? This is me personally. I'm not speaking New Hope-wise. This is just me personally. This is just Chad, just for a moment. As far as I'm concerned, I do not care what the colors of the walls are in here. Many of you do. I appreciate that. My wife does. I understand. I don't care. Does not matter. Climate control. Seriously, doesn't matter. I really like it cold, you know that. But if this is up to 110 and you like it, I'll do my best to make it through without passing out. I don't care. Worship music, here we go. They do a great job. I don't care. My preference doesn't matter. Whether I like the music or don't, doesn't matter. Welcome and greeting time. I don't care. As you can see, I don't care. No, sorry. Doesn't matter. All of that can go away because church isn't about our comfort. Church isn't about all of that. Hey, do I want it? Sure. Do I like it? Yes. I appreciate every bit of it. I love it. Absolutely. Am I against it? No. But if you want to get a fight on your hands, it's when you say, well, we don't need preaching anymore. We don't need the proclamation of his word anymore. Hey, that's when we're going to fight. Because that's the bottom line. That's the foundation of the church. And that's what our culture needs today, is to be reminded of the truths of God. Not to be reminded of the comfort and all the things that we like and appreciate, but they need to be reminded of the truths of God. And that's not happening. I remember when I was in college, a professor said about talking about Billy Graham. And he said, I'm not sure what we are going to do when Billy Graham dies. Now, why did he say that? Well, if those of you who remember Billy Graham know, it was on CBS, NBC, complete secular TV and radio stations would cover his crusades, which would do what? Which would impact our culture with the truths of God. And now we're in that stage that he was concerned about. What are we going to do when he dies? Because where is the voice now? Where is the voice? I mean, not even just a Christian voice. Where's the voice of moral authority of any type? Just good morality, just decency, just human, just whatever term you want to use. That there needs to be something of explaining God's truths to the culture and to the world. And that's why many of us are concerned about the up-and-coming generation. We look at the up-and-coming generation and we say, my goodness, something needs to happen. My goodness, who's going to teach them? My goodness, has anybody taught them? My goodness, has anybody showed them the importance of God's truths? Um, So with that, one thing is for certain, and we need to be careful not to fall into this trap. Because what I just did for about the last 8-9 minutes or so, something like that, talking about the younger generation, most of us are agreeing to that. But we need to be careful with that because it's very easy to get into that discussion, isn't it? I mean, today, if I was to just have a discussion on that and just say, hey, we're going to discuss the concerns of the up-and-coming generation, meet me over here, there would not be I would not have any issue with keeping the conversation going, would I? Because, you know, it would almost be like bread and soup, where they don't even need a teacher. Sometimes I just leave them alone. They just do whatever, right? You guys would have your own thoughts. You would have your own concerns. You would have your own statements. We wouldn't have to prod you for it. And we could spend hours in that discussion, couldn't we? And the discussion would probably sound something like, well, did you know what I heard now? Do you know what they're doing now? Did you see what they're doing with the Bible now? Did you see what the church is? Did you see what they're, and now they're talking about doing, and now they're going to permit this, and now this is going to, and it just goes on and on and on. And before we know it, you've been in those discussions, haven't you? When you're in those discussions, what do? You leave exhausted, don't you? You leave exhausted, you leave stressed out, you leave frustrated. You're thinking, oh my goodness, we're doomed. So I want to be careful that that's not what this point of discussion should lead to. But the part of this that we usually overlook is that we need a Deuteronomy. You need a Deuteronomy. I need a Deuteronomy. We all need to be reminded of God's truth. Why? Because of the very beginning, remember? You forget. So we all need to be reminded of his truth. And you look at the New Testament and you see how this unfolds. How many times Jesus is trying to teach the disciples. Jesus is trying to explain to them what this whole thing is about. And they didn't get it. And he kept reminding them and kept reminding them and kept telling them. He told the Pharisees. He told the disciples. He told the Sanhedrin. I mean, he told everyone. And they just didn't. Jesus continually repeated himself and repeated himself, and it didn't matter. Jesus told them more than once he's going to die. More than once he's going to suffer death at the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law. He told them more than once this is going to happen. So when he's in the tomb, they all forgot. And it wasn't until the angel came and reminded them and said, why are you doing this? He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Reminder, did you forget? Reminder, you look at the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Let's just talk about the church at Corinth. If you talk about the church at Corinth for a moment, and it's found in 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's interesting when we look at the church of Corinth because the Apostle Paul is writing to them. And the Apostle Paul had a way of writing, and all of his epistles pretty much are start off this way, where he just makes everybody feel like gold, right? Anybody do that for you? You ever had that meeting with an individual, whether it was an employer or somebody, where you just started to realize they were complimenting you a bit too much? And you knew something else was on its way. You knew that the but was coming. You do a tremendous job. You're a great asset to the company. In fact, I was just telling so-and-so how tremendous you are. But what I wanted to talk to you about was, here it comes. That's similar to how Paul writes, because you look just as what he's saying at the church of Corinth. He says this, verse 2, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Hey, he's telling me we've been sanctified. Sounds good. Saints by calling. Hey, we're saints. Great. He just called us saints. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Great. Hey, he's grace and peace. We're all part of the same family of the Apostle Paul. He just said so. We're saints. We're sanctified. Thank you, Paul. I thank my God always concerning you. Hey, he's thanking God for me. For the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. Wait a minute, what's he talking about now? He kind of changed his tune. This is kind of the but he got to here, but he said now instead of but. So be prepared for the now next time you have that discussion. It's not just but, they could say now as well. Now I exhort you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. What are you getting at now, Paul? First you tell me we're sanctified and we're saints, and now you're telling us something, you're kind of making it sound like we're doing something wrong. For I have been informed concerning you, verse 11. Oh, who was it? Who was the snitch? Who went and told Paul? For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos and I of Cephas and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize all the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know where I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made him foolish, the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, but Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness, and to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Four, consider your calling, brethren. Now, what's he getting at there? When he says, for consider your calling, and your translation might would probably say something different. One of the translations says, consider when you were called, brethren. In other words, let me remind you of the day when you were called. Because it seems that you have forgotten. As I just said, I've been informed there are quarrels among you. So you have forgotten about the day you were called. So I need to remind you of that day. For consider when you were called, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base of the things which the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In other words, he's telling them, to all those who are sanctified, to all those who are saints, good. Now, I've been informed there are quarrels among you. Why? Because there's a lot of boasting going on. There's a lot of bragging going on. And I would challenge any of you to read any of Paul's epistles and try to find in each one where he at least doesn't one time say something similar to this, not just about boasting, but about any type of behavior where he says, why are you doing this? You know better. I taught you better. Why are you doing this? In the book of Colossians, he tells them, since you have given your life to Christ and since you are walking with Christ, therefore, set your minds on things above, not things that are down here on earth. So Deuteronomy, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, pretty much I would say all of Scripture, is basically our Deuteronomy. Our Scripture is our reminder. And remember what we said earlier about repetition. Repetition is a good thing, especially when it comes to Scripture. Why? Because we forget, you forget, and we need to be reminded. And it needs to be ingrained in us and ingrained in us and ingrained in us to the point that it is a part of our life, to the point that it is our life, not just reading it and moving on, but this whole repetition of His truth and His word in our life is what is important. Otherwise, we forget. So if I was to ask you today, if I was to say, going back to the whole up-and-coming generation, everybody has concerns about that, what would be your solutions to that? Some of you would probably have some answers. Some, well, we need to do this. We need to try to find a way to do this. Maybe we can get back into the high schools. Maybe we can do, you know, all the different strategies you would come up with. I'm sure many of you would have something that we should try. Many of you have already started trying, maybe. And there are churches and ministries who are attempting because they understand the situation and they understand the frustration of the up-and-coming generation to be reminded of these truths. But if I was to ask you today to come up with a plan or a strategy of what would be the best way for you to be reminded of these truths, what would be the best way for you to be reminded of what you forget? Now, each person is different. I understand that. We all have different personalities. I get that. But I would think that every single one at the basis of it would be, I need to be in His Word. And not just in His Word, but I need to continually be in His Word so that I can be reminded of who He is and be reminded of what the truths of God are and how they apply to my life. You've heard this before, I'm sure, and we've talked about it before, but it's just that whole idea of the, you know, we get to that stage, you know, I think it was Piaget, the psychologist who put together the stages of development for children and teens, I think that's right, and so the church kind of modeled that same thing as they put together education for, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's all good, God has used that, but that's led us almost subconsciously to this point that following that model, hey, when you graduate. Anybody remember when you graduated? I'll tell you one thing. When I graduated, I remember. Why? Because I hated every single day of high school. I threw my hat higher than anyone. I was so happy to get out of that place because I couldn't stand it. Whew. Glad that's over. Go back to your graduation day, just for a moment. Just for a moment, go back to your graduation, whether it's college or high school or maybe master's program, whatever it is, the last thing that you graduated from. Go back to that day just for a moment and think about how excited you were. It's done, it's over, I graduated, no more. And just imagine as you're going out to the car and you're all excited, maybe your family and friends are there, there's gonna be a celebration, you're on the way to the celebration, everything's gonna be going great. And there's your head professor or teacher waiting for you there. And says, can I speak to you for a second? And he pulls you over and he shows you something that for some reason, whatever reason it might be, you actually shouldn't have graduated. Yeah, you need to at least do another year, maybe two. Would any of you be happy with that? No. Why? Because Who wants to do that, right? Who's longing to do that? Nobody. And the problem is when we parallel that model to our spiritual walk, we can get to the same point where we think, hey, I'm done. I know the scriptures. I don't need to hear anymore. I'm done. I'm throwing my hat up. Congratulations, it's over. See, all the other stuff, the teaching and all that, that's for all the younger ones that don't know any better. I know better now. I don't need, and subconsciously we've kind of got to that place where we believe that we graduate from our Christianity. And if you happen to be at that place in any way, shape, or form today, you need a Deuteronomy. You need to be reminded of the truths of God. And at the very base of your walk with Christ, you need to have a desire to get into his word, regardless of age, regardless of how many years you've done it, regardless of how many years you've walked with God. Doesn't even matter if you have every word of the Bible memorized backwards and forwards. Does not matter. It's all about being reminded of his truths. Why? Because all of us forget. So in closing, I'd just like to ask you, is there a truth that you know that God has, that he's verified, that it's been substantiated, it's been backed up by scripture, and you know it to be true? Is there a truth that you think God just might be reminding you of today? Do you think in any way possible, God just might be saying, hey, tapping you on the shoulder, I think you forgot about. If he is, whatever that truth may be that's right now in front of your face, don't put it aside. Say, God, thank you for the reminder. What should I do? And he will be faithful to show you. Because we forget and we constantly need to be reminded and we need his truth ingrained in us as much as possible, because left to ourselves, we're a disaster. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. And Lord, we pray, Jesus, that we would never, ever, ever get tired of hearing your truths from your word. Whether we think we know them or not, whether we think we need them or not, Lord, it doesn't matter. What matters is we are fallen people and we are in desperate need of you. We forget. Our memories are horrible, God, especially many times when it comes to you. So remind us today, Jesus, of those truths that we forget. And show us, Lord, how we can put you first. Show us, Lord, how we can be open to hearing what you have to say. Show us how we can be reminded of those truths we so easily forget. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.